I don't usually have a name for an opening scripture, except the titles of the scriptures and to look them up. But I want to talk today about, and this is an observation over the years, that many of us as Spirit-filled believers, one of the things that I hear often, oh, you're that name it and claim it, blab it and grab it kind of Christian. So that's going to be the title of my opening scriptures this morning. Name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. And you know there's a lot of truth in it, but you can't just take one scripture and make an entire doctrine hardly out of that without looking a little closer. So this is going to be looking at the little closer, because I remember when I first got saved, these are some of the things that we first, or my name's Jimmy and I'll take all you can give me. You know, these catchy little cliche things that we heard in our new Christian faith, and they caught my ear because I never talked those words. And I kept hearing the phrase, oh, praise the Lord, and I never heard that either. And so over the course of the years, these things have stuck with me. And the first one is Mark chapter 11, verses 23 through 24. And I have all of these in the King James Version to make it not only easier in the programming back there for the recordings, but also whatever one you have. But the King James is what I have today. And one of the reasons that this name it and claim it, blab it and grab it got started is because sometimes things are taken a little bit beyond without a little deeper explanation. And these are things that Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. And it has to do with the power of our words too. But this is where I would like to go with this today. Jesus said, for verily, verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And so I remember going back to the beginning of our faith walk. He said, what things soever I desire. And I had a multitude of things I desired. And probably you might have had a list too. I don't know. I didn't know you at that time, so I can't say. But you can answer that. And he said, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And without more context around that, you can easily see that until we know what God's will is, we could be asking amiss, if you will. And then if something doesn't happen because we said it, the opportunity is for the enemy to come and say, ah, see, God don't answer your prayers. He didn't give you that. Or other things. But the point of it is, if we just take that, because that's where we started from too, speaking to mountains, sometimes making a declaration of faith is different than praying. When you speak to things, like Jesus when he spoke to the fig tree and commanded there be no more fruit on it, and it all dried up by the next morning, the roots were all dried up. He didn't pray and ask God to do something about the tree. He spoke to the tree himself, because he was God. But the disciples were so surprised. So what things whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Now, there's a lot of truth there, because a lot of times when we pray for each other, it's important that when we pray, that's when we release our faith to believe that we receive it at the time we pray, not when we see it manifest, but at the time we pray, that's the time to believe that we receive it, even before we see it. And that's really key, and it's very truthful. But I want to go a little further. John chapter 14, we're still going to be looking at some things that Jesus said. And then we're going to look even closer than that. We're going to fine-tune this so that the picture becomes much more clearer. John 14, verses 13 and 14. Now we see something a little different. And the difference, you might not think that makes much difference, but it makes a lot of difference. Verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, catch that little clause, catch that little phrase there. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name. Asking in the name of Jesus is very important. It's like the password. You can't open your phone without a password. You can't get into your email account without a password. We're required to use passwords all the time now, even in the electronic generation. Everything's about passwords. Jesus is the password that we use to access the things of the Lord. And so he said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And another thing about this is that Jesus said that while he was here. But he was teaching them to when they go to the Father, it's not going to be like going through a priest or another person. He was saying, you need to use my name because I'm the one that came to give you access, if you will, through him. And again, he said, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And the whole point of it was he was God in an earth suit. Jesus was the earth suit that brought the presence of God, the Spirit of God. And he says, and if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. These are, to me, they're like building blocks and learning to pray according to the word. And it's not splitting hairs, but it's like it makes a difference if you're in an airplane, and I use airplanes a lot because I like to fly, and I'm quite knowledgeable of the process of how aircraft can fly. But if I knew the pilot was taking a break or not paying attention, and he wasn't looking at his instrument panel, a lot of things could go wrong because there are flight manuals that he has to learn and understand and know and apply. And if we could trust a pilot that most of the time you can't see because he's in there behind a locked door, usually they come out when you're first boarding the aircraft, but then you don't see him anymore. So do you really know that's where he went and what is he doing when he's in there? And it's kind of like prayer. I can't see God. I don't know if he hears me. But we know by faith. And that's a lot of these things. We learn to release our faith in what is written because the source is the Lord himself. These words that we're reading came from him. And so as we learn to follow these things because of what's written, how it's written. There are specific key things in this. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Okay, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. It's coming to me in the beginning that it doesn't matter what I ask him for in my thinking at that time. And that's where I'm going back to because that's my starting point. I didn't know that there were still yet some conditions that I hadn't learned yet. And so I was asking for all kinds of stuff, not knowing, not understanding. And sometimes I'm still not sure. All right, let's go to John chapter 15 and verse 7. It's the next page over. Left column, left page. No, I have a different Bible. But John chapter 15, the parable of the vine and the branches. And I don't want to get into the parable so much as what it sets up verse 7, because that's the one I want to look at, about abiding. Abide means to dwell in, to live in, to remain attached to. And he used the branch as an example, that he was the vine and were the branches grafted into him. And so he said in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. What changed from what he said earlier? Did you pick up the condition? There's a condition, abiding in him and his word abiding in us. Why do you think that's important? If his word abides in us and we abide in him, that's a safeguard, if you will, to help us to ask the things that he promised would be ours. It helps us to eliminate asking for a lot of things that you don't see in the Word. And that's where a lot of the Spirit-filled part of Christianity got this name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. But we're going to fine-tune it now to make that more balanced, because there is a balance. And rightly, I was one who didn't know in the beginning. And so if there's any that don't know from the beginning, maybe this will be helpful. Because a lot of times people get jealous when you say you prayed and God gave you that. And, well, I prayed and I didn't get anything. Well, maybe there's some things here that we can tweak a little bit. You know, ask the Holy Spirit to help us in these areas. And also, each one of us in this room has the opportunity to reach others and help them along in their faith walk. So it isn't just for us. They're tools to help us to reach others. So abiding in him is one of the, I call it the introduction to conditions. Those things are true, but they're also expectations that God puts on us in our asking. It's about abiding, to remain in, to dwell in, to remain attached to live in, and his word taking up residence in us, if you will. Eventually, if we live long enough, eventually the word will, we will become what the word says we already are. We just haven't grown into it yet, but we become who the word says we are. And things become what the word says. So that's the one of the importances of abiding. Don't come and go. Like, don't be unstable. Be steady. Every day, be consistent. And abide. 1 John, little epistle of John, chapter 3 and verse 22. First John 3:22, and when we read it, you might see something that you hadn't thought of before. I don't know, but it says, "And whatsoever," John says, "whatsoever we ask, we receive of him." Now, if you stop there, that sounds like that's all there was when we first started with things that Jesus said, whatsoever things we ask, we'll receive. But then John says, because we keep his commandments. And I really pondered a lot about that, and I thought about, is he talking about the Ten Commandments, or is he talking about all 613 of them? Or is he talking about one? What is he talking about? Because in the beginning, I didn't know. I was mixing up a lot of stuff because I didn't know any different. But I think with fine-tuning this a little bit, we're going to see exactly what he meant, because John knew him very well. He knew Jesus very well. And so, and also, number two, we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So you see the ask and you'll receive thing begins to get narrowed down, more clearly defined, so that we don't make the mistake of asking and then getting bummed out because God didn't come through. So I'm hopeful that some of you, when you pray, this will be helpful. It still is to me, because I'm still learning, just like all of you are. So we come to this thing about commandments. Well, I also remembered that if we go back to Mark chapter 12, this gets much more clearly defined. Mark chapter 12. I have all these bookmarks today, so I'm glad the wind's not blowing too much in here. Mark chapter 12, a little short portion of scripture, but really, really quite important in how this connects. And we're going to look at verses 28 through 31. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 31. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." This is the first commandment. Now connect that with what John had just said. One of the conditions is that we love the Lord God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. So it's that word becomes enlarged, if you will. And let's continue. And all, Jesus continued with that. And he said, this is the first commandment. And then 31. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no other commandment greater than these. But he picked these two out of the 613 commandments of the Old Covenant, which also matches the numbers of on the bells and pomegranates on the hem of the high priest. There were 613 of them, one for each commandment. So you could come away with thinking, wow, I thought if I just believed in Jesus that I wouldn't have to put myself back under the law, because you could easily think that. But if you look a little closer, Jesus began to define a little more, narrowed it down to the two that were absolutely the most important. And if those two were the most important to Jesus, I get the feeling that I should probably have a look at that and consider that more importantly. However, there's a little bit of a flaw in the second one. And when I give you the next verse, you'll kind of see it. That you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What if you don't love yourself? Then you're going to screw over your neighbor. You're going to take advantage. You're going to use them. You're going to manipulate them because you don't love yourself. And so if you can't love yourself, then how can you love anyone else? So you see, the commandments were a schoolmaster to point us to Christ, the perfect one, the one who fulfilled all the law and all of the prophets. This one right here changed. Jesus added something to it. And it's an amazing thing, and it's a very big difference in what he said. First off, he said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's a challenge in itself. It really is. Then John 13, verse 34. And here you will really see how you talk about fine-tuning or tweaking something. A new commandment. Oh, now the 614. Whew. We said new. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Notice the neighbor isn't in there. Self isn't in there. Look at what he said, that you love one another as I have loved you. You see the big difference? One is about loving yourself and then treat your neighbor the same way you love yourself. This way it doesn't give any of us any wiggle room. We just close the doors and we don't see our neighbor, so we don't have to love them. We can slide by. But here, this is really definitive. This takes it to a whole new level. We're to love one another as he loved us. How does he love us? Look at the cross. If you want to know how much God loved you, look at the cross. That's all I'm going to say about that, because the simpler the better in my thinking sometimes. If you want to know how much God loves you, whether you believe it or not, you can't undo history. You can't undo what the Word has said. So you might as well get over it and embrace it. God loves you, and he showed you with the cross how much he loved you, and the fact that he was willing to spike his son to the cross and beat him almost to death, and then he bled and died for you. That's how much he loves you. And he said, by that love, that's the love that I showed you. Now you take that love and you love others in the same fashion. So, yeah, wow, that's right. So you see, this thing about asking begins to take on a whole new picture. And that's what I wanted to bring this morning. Let's look a little further. We're almost finished with these. Now we go back to 1 John in chapter 5. I think, to me personally, it's just a Rick thought, but I really feel that John had one of the greatest revelations of the Father's love ever expressed in all the scriptures. He just seemed to be so aware of that, so in tune with that. It was revealed by the Spirit, and I believe that he had the greatest revelation that any person could have, where you can literally find it, and he showed it and he talked about it, and even in his epistles. And that's where I would like to end up. This is the last one, so you done well. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Now remember, we started off by simply asking and receiving. And that in itself is kind of vague. It lacks meat on the bones, if you will. So this is the meat. And John wrote in verse 14 of chapter 5, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, according to his will. Another condition, if you will. But if we ask according to his will, he hears us. Does that mean he doesn't hear us if we don't ask according to his will? I believe that he heard us. But we're not coming into agreement, if you will, with him on the condition. I don't see God ever doing anything outside of his will. Does anybody have any more insight about that? Did you ever see God do anything that it wasn't his will to do? Am I missing something? No? Okay, so that's really important then, isn't it, about our asking. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And now, here's the conclusion of the matter. Next verse. And if we know that he hears us. A lot of people don't know God hears you. He's as close as the mention of his name. And people yell and scream and holler and wake up the whole neighborhood trying to get God to hear them. Even a whisper will do. He is not deaf. He's Ancient of Days, but I can assure you he's not deaf. He doesn't forget. He's not unmindful of us. and the needs that we have. But he says, if we know, now he puts the responsibility back on us. Do you know personally that he hears you when you pray? You really, really need to know that he hears you. Because I personally know a lot of people that aren't sure that he does. And then it says, know that he hears us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So the conclusion to all of this, really, in a Reader's Digest condensed version of the subject, it isn't just simply asking. There are other things involved in that so that we don't get out of balance about it and we become one of those people accused of being the name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. I am all of those things. But I'm learning to make sure what I'm blabbing and what I'm grabbing and what I'm naming and claiming. I claim all the promises that I have yet read and know, and even the ones I don't know yet, I know, as I find them, that I can lay hold of those promises. Who do you think he made them for? It wasn't just to fill a book, was it? He wants us to know him and to come to him as his children, his beloveds. I love that term, beloveds. I never heard that in my whole life until I got saved, and then I found out that each one of us is God's beloved. So one day if you wake up and you're having a bad hair day and you're looking ugly and in the mirror and whatever, and you don't feel like just doing anything with your day, always remember, in God's eyes, you're his beloved, and he sees you without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, and beautiful in his sight. And there's no reason that you should lack any confidence in finding out what he's promised. See, this is an encouragement for you all, to all of us, to look a little deeper and see before we just open up and start asking for just stuff. It's like going to a carnival and they draw the curtain and you stick your hand in there. Well, whatever I get, that's... No, it isn't like that. It's there are multitudes of things in the kingdom of God that he has freely made available to us. But learning what his will is really key. And what we're asking. And these things, this helps us to have the condition of our heart right, so that we won't ask amiss, we won't ask in error, as we grow and as we learn together. And there's so many more. Prayer is a big subject, but so is the fruit of it. And to just be encouraged that God does hear you when you pray. But there are a few little, you see the difference from the verse we started and then how it ended. There's some things in between, and it's the things in between that can make all the difference in the way it might change the way you pray to improve. Not that any of us are any more special to the Lord than others by the way we pray. But I can tell you, try putting a wrong password in your phone and see how far that gets you. So there are some things, and I just wanted to bring those today. This has been in my heart for quite a long time to, you know, maybe we can make some adjustments as necessary. And I'll just leave you with those thoughts and hope that's helpful. But always have faith to believe.